This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 626. I'm your host, Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me today as we review what has happened so far this year for just a moment before we get to the main part of our show. And it's devastating. I mean, it is devastating. Do you know that the world's stock market, just so far this year, it's not even the end of January yet, the world's stock markets have losses approaching $8 trillion. That's trillion with a T. And so all of these nervous investors have rushed out of the stock market and they've put a lot of money into government bond funds. Now, it just begs the question of how engineered these crises are. You know, I think it was Rolling Stone, a few years ago, did a big expose on Goldman Sachs and the Federal Reserve. I believe they talked about that too. You know, forgive me if I'm not exactly remembering this right, by the way, but you probably saw this. It was a pretty famous story. I believe it was Rolling Stone too, Rolling Stone magazine. Kind of odd for them to cover this maybe, but they talked about the giant bubble machine, how these ups and downs in the economy that the Federal Reserve, when it came into being just slightly over 100 years ago, was supposed to stop the ups and the downs, the gyrations, the roller coaster ride, the debasement of currency. You gotta laugh at that, because if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny, because it's so ridiculous, right? The dollar has been debased more than 96% since the Federal Reserve took the helm and it was created on Jekyll Island in 1915. And it's just mind-boggling. So if you think about this, right, if there is a group that runs the world, okay, let's just toy with the conspiracy theory here for a moment before we get into the main portion of our show. If there is a group that runs the world, maybe it's the Bilderberg Group, I don't know, whoever it is, some secret society, or maybe it's just the 12 richest families, or, you know, whatever, right? If you're running the world and you want to shift wealth from one group of people to another group of people, look at what you can do. You can run the world's stock markets up, then you can sell all your stock at high prices, right? Because you might own most of the stock, right? Or, you know, not most, but a large amount of it to be able to unload onto, you know, the middle class investors so that they get the burden, right? You sell it off, and then the market starts to tank, and you've already moved your losses off, right? So you've sold at a high price. And then that money pours into government bond funds, looking for safety, seeking the safe harbor, you know, things like treasury bills or whatever bond fund from whatever government around the world, right? So the money pours in there, and then after that, you know, the rationale would be, well, the markets are down. We got to do something to fix it. And, you know, we haven't even talked about, you know, the real estate market, because that one's harder to control. You know, that especially globally, it's really hard to control the real estate market. You know, in the U.S., I mean, at least you can make a case for it. You can toy with interest rates. You can toy with, you know, the government-sponsored agencies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who are buying loans on the secondary market, and you can control the flow of money and thus the supply and the demand dynamic and the prices. You can also influence maybe tax law changes, tax code changes, and things like that that will influence things. But those, boy, I tell you, when it comes to real estate, those sacred cows, they change very, very, very slowly. I mean, there's very little change. And, you know, people come to me and they say, Jason, you know, don't you think the government could change the laws and take away all these great tax advantages we have as income property investors? You know, it's the most tax-favored asset class in America, you always say. Well, yeah, they could, but in many decades, it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, it changed a little bit. Well, not a little bit. I guess that was pretty significant, actually. Under Reagan, okay, quite arguably the best president in modern history. But he had his flaws, too, okay? He was a globalist, okay, just like all the rest of them. The change there was from accelerated cost recovery. Do you remember that? Are you old enough to remember that, okay? So we had the ACRS, the Accelerated Cost Recovery, which means you could accelerate the depreciation, and that was a big tax advantage for the front-end years of your property. And now we don't have accelerated depreciation anymore, except, you know, in a few unique cases. For example, we had that in the Go Zone several years ago. And of course, you heard me talk about the Go Zone. Many of our investors made huge tax benefit profits, including myself, by investing in the Go Zone. But then, like any idiotic government program, which I do ultimately think it was idiotic, you know, it causes malinvestment because all the investors rush in there, they heat up the market too much, they overpay, they drive up prices too high, and there you got another little mini bubble, right? It wasn't a significant one, but, you know, it was happening in there. And so this is the rationale, right? Okay, so let me get back to my point. Jason, you're on a tangent again. Stop being on a tangent. Okay, back to the point. So the powers that be drive the stock market up. They unload tons of stock onto middle-class investors. So the rich get richer. And then the stock market starts to tank, as it has, approaching $8 trillion in losses so far this year. Wow. Now, just to get a perspective on that, okay? What is the size of the global economy? What is the size of the entire economy of planet Earth in a year? Well, you know, I don't know offhand, but it's somewhere around 60 trillion. 60 trillion. And here, we're talking about losing 8 trillion in less than a month. Whoa, that's ugly. That's really, really ugly. So understand the perspective here. When investors lose $8 trillion in stock value globally in less than a month, and you look at the world GDP of somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 trillion, 60 trillion with a T, okay, right? That is giant. This is a giant amount of money we're talking about. And then you look at the GDP of the entire United States, right? The entire United States GDP in 2013 was just under $17 trillion, okay? Just under $17 trillion. So that is ginormous, okay? So going back to the concept of how this could be engineered, stock market goes up, the rich take their profits, stock market goes down, all of the scared investors pour into government bond funds. And then the rationale becomes, well, we got to do something about this. This is terrible. The market is down. What are you going to do? Well, the only answer any of these morons that run the world ever have, I guess they're not that dumb. They're smarter than me. So I must be an uber moron because they're morons too, okay? The only tool they really have when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, is they just change the monetary and fiscal policy. And what do they do to monetary policy? Well, let's print more frickin' money. That's all we can do. So whenever the G7 and the G8 and the G20 and the G whatever meet, the industrialized countries of the world, all they do, all their answer all comes down to one thing. Quantitative easing, money creation, fiat money out of thin air, okay? And then what does that do? Well, that creates inflationary pressure. Now, I know what you're thinking, especially you, Jeff. I know what you're thinking. Well, Jason, they've been doing that, and it hasn't really caused much inflation. Inflation is very tame. You're right. But, you know, it's arguable as to whether or not how much of that is baked into the cake and when it's coming. Okay? And look, remember, you got to remember something, people. This is incredibly important. There is no limit whatsoever to the amount of money creation and thus the amount of resulting inflation that can be created. There is absolutely no limit. So if there is another shoe that's going to drop and things are going to get ugly, then they will simply pull out all the stops and print more and more and more. And it doesn't even print anymore. It's just electronic now. So they can cause inflation if they want to. Believe me, there is no limit. Just look at all the examples throughout history, whether they be Zimbabwe, Weimar Republic, Hungary, Argentina, over and over and over again. Argentina is just so funny like that. And then, God, Venezuela, you know, I'm glad Obama's reading the book that the late Hugo Chavez gave him, right? It's just unbelievable, folks. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's like, this is better than fiction, right? It's insane. It's just totally insane the way the world works. I mean, these supposed adults and these brilliant economists, these Nobel laureates, at the end of the day, they're just flipping people. That's all they are, and most of them are overly self-important people that get chauffeured around at our expense. It's just absurd, okay? So, enough said. Okay, hey, before we get to our guest today, where we talk about self-management, rent collection, and tenant screening with the founder and CEO of Cozy. This is Gino, who came out and spoke at our Meet the Masters event. He was awesome. This is an awesome product. You're going to love this episode. Before we get to that, I want to remind you to get some free stuff. You know, I forget to say these things a lot on the show, okay? So first of all, go to jasonhartman.com/matrix, M-A-T-R-I-X, matrix, and get those slides that we talked about several episodes ago about the investment matrix. And it relates totally to this $8 trillion in stock market losses because it talks about and shows you visually, to correspond with what I was talking about on the podcast several episodes ago, about the way different investment vehicles act in the three basic economic scenarios: inflation, deflation, and stagnation. Very important slides. Just go get those PowerPoint slides, jasonhartman.com/matrix, M-A-T-R-I-X, and save the date for Jason Hartman University in March. Okay, this is going to be a good event. Salt Lake City, Utah. You can get some skiing in while you're there. It'll probably be nice spring skiing conditions. My favorite, because I do not like being cold. It's tentative, okay, but do save the date. March 12th and 13th, Saturday and Sunday, March 12th and 13th, Salt Lake City, Utah. Very convenient destination for many people. And also, if you want the slides from my IMN presentation that I did in Scottsdale in early December, go to jasonhartman.com/IMN. If you'd like to get a hold of the Meet the Masters online course, go to hartmaneducation.com. I know I'm probably like overwhelming you with websites right now, but you know, you can rewind, Okay, that's the nice thing about this. It's there. You can reference it anytime. Check that course out. A lot of you have given some very favorable feedback on that and how nicely organized it is. So we appreciate that. We put a lot of effort into it. And gosh, of course, check out the properties at jasonhartman.com. But let's talk about self-management. Let's talk about rent collection. Let's talk about tenant screening and how easy it is becoming. You know, with our new software company, we are working on, you know, a relationship with Cozy of how they can use our investment evaluation and tracking stuff with their system. So I think you're really going to like this show. And without further ado, let's talk to Gino, founder of Cozy. It's my pleasure to welcome Gino Zond to the show. He is the founder and CEO of Cozy. And we've talked a little bit about Cozy on prior episodes before, and we wanted to take a deep dive into it, find out what it is, find out how it can help you with the management of your real estate portfolio, and especially if you are self-managing or thinking of self-managing, not going the more popular property manager route. And we've had clients have tremendous success with both of these approaches. Sometimes self-management, believe it or not, is actually easier than managing your property manager. As I always say, if you have a great property manager, heck, keep them. But if you have a mediocre or a poor property manager, self-management really could be a good alternative for you. It's worked for me, you know, many years ago, as I said before on the show, many years ago, if you told me that I could self-manage a property that I've never seen, that's 2,000 miles away with a tenant I've never met, I would have told you you were absolutely crazy. However, I've done it successfully quite a few times, and many of our clients have as well. So it is an option.
Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday.
And let's just kind of dive in and see what Gino has to say. Gino, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. You're based in Portland, but coming to us from Sin City today, right? Las Vegas?
I am in Las Vegas today. I am here for the Money 2020 conference. And so it's been 2 days so far of back-to-back meetings with folks, and it's been a really good conference.
Fantastic. Well, you know, what is Cozy? When you give an elevator pitch to someone, you know, just in 30 seconds, what is it?
Yeah, Cozy is a very simple to use service for landlords, property managers, and their tenants to do everything from paying and collecting rent, rental applications, tenant screening, background checks. And our goal is to be the one-stop shop that you can run your rental business with.
Okay, great. And how did you come up with the idea? I mean, Tim Ferriss is an investor in Cozy, isn't he?
Yes, Tim is an investor. And the idea was born from a lot of miserable experiences as a renter in San Francisco, actually. I live there and work in the Valley for almost 20 years. And the idea for Cozy really started in 2009, and my business partner and I had been talking about it for a couple of years. And in 2011, I was moving again, and I had filled out the standard 10 or 12 rental applications that you fill out in San Francisco. And a landlord accidentally ran my credit score 6 times in 3 hours. And there's not a lot you can do about that other than wait for the consequences and then ride them out. And that made me angry enough to think that I could actually do something about it. And so the nutshell of how Cozy was born started there. And we were actually running another company at the time. But I removed myself from the daily operations of that company, and I went into about 40 different markets to just speak to people firsthand, and we wanted to know, you know, what tools they used. At that point, internally our biggest competitor was Microsoft Excel. It's a very entrenched tool in the small landlord space. We wanted to understand, where the big headaches were between landlords and tenants. We wanted to understand if there were markets in the U.S. that worked differently, where were they, and why was that the case? For example, we had this perception that in New York City it would be very difficult to use something like Cozy because there's such a strong broker presence there. But At this point, we have a lot of customers in New York who screen their own tenants, and we've made all of that very simple. And so that's where the idea came from. We launched publicly in July of 2013, and at this point, we're used in over 4,000 cities around the country. So every urban area, every suburb, everywhere.
Okay, so for tenants, basically, it sounds like the USP, the unique selling proposition, is that the tenant can just go to Cozy when they want to start looking for a new place, and they can fill out one application, and Cozy will be this sort of centralized service that'll run their credit report, do their background check, and then landlords can just go there and find out what they're all about. Is that correct?
So we're not a listing service. So you don't come to Cozy.
I know you don't have listings on there like Zillow or any of the other sites or Craigslist, but can they do what I said, though?
Yeah. So generally, the way that it works is when a landlord is looking for a new tenant, for example, part of the application process is the credit report and background check. And so when a tenant is filling that stuff out, it's just a seamless part of it. It's not a separate piece. And the beauty of Cozy is that as a tenant, you never have to give someone your social security number. So you pay for your credit report, but you own that data, you control it. And so mechanically, the way that it works, say that I apply to your place, I would run my own credit report, I would get the results, and I would share those with you as part of my application. So you get what you need. It comes from the bureau in real time, so you can trust the information. But I've never given you anything that you could use for identity theft. So that's how that piece works.
Okay, so it's good for the tenant in that way. Now, tell us how the landlord uses it.
So landlords use Cozy in two big ways today. The first piece is with rent payment and collection, and the other piece is our screening tools and rental applications. So we make finding a tenant very, very easy, and we make the quality of the data that you get very high.
Okay, so let's take those in chronological order. Let's talk about screening. So you've got a property that's up for rent. You know, many of our clients that self-manage, they'll use a real estate agent or a property manager just to do a one-time lease up. Some of them do it themselves too. You know, if they've got this one-time lease up sort of thing, can you tell your real estate agent or property manager that I want to use Cozy to screen all the tenants?
Yes, and that's actually a very common use case for us. We have a lot of listing agents who only use our screening tools. And then when it's time to just start collecting the rent on a monthly basis, and we've automated all of that, then the landlord can just set up those payments, and the payments go directly from their tenant to whichever bank account they want it to go to.
Okay, so what do they do? Tell us exactly what happens. So the tenant comes in, expresses interest in the property, and then what?
Yeah, so there are a number of ways that people use Cozy in terms of where they come into the product. So on the tenant piece, if I'm looking for a place, I can take my Cozy property, and we give you a unique URL for the application for any given property. So I can put that link in my Craigslist ad or my Zillow ad or wherever I want to market it. Tenants can simply go to that link and apply, and they can apply from their phone.
So there will be a link, and you can put that link on a Craigslist ad. You can put it in Postlets, Zillow, wherever you're listing the property, right? That says, if you like this property, apply here. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay. And then the tenant goes and applies, and how much do they have to pay for the application fee?
So there isn't an application fee. We have decoupled the idea of a fee from the application. So most landlords do want a background check and a credit report, and that's the default setting. So if the tenant does need to pay for that bundle, it's $34.95. If they just need to buy a credit report or a background check, those are $19.95 each. And as I said before, the tenant controls that information and never has to share anything that can be used for identity theft. And so it's free for the landlord. The tenant pays for it, but they have control of that. And so in the very rare cases where a landlord or a property manager are just accepting applications, there's no fee for the application itself.
So there's no fee for the application. Now, landlords usually make a little bit of money off the application, okay? I mean, they have to spend their time, so it's a fair, you know, I guess it's a fair request. But for example, you know, a landlord might charge a $25 application fee for each adult occupant in the house, right? So if it's a husband and wife, it'll be $50. If it's just one party, it'll be $25. But then they'll go and they'll run the background check and that'll only cost them maybe 10 bucks. What happens with Cozy? Can they still do that, or is that opportunity gone? And I'm calling it an opportunity because, you know, they do make a, you know, it's a nominal amount of money, but
it's icing. And so Cozy is completely free, and we take the burden of actually dealing with the applications from the landlord, right? So we did a lot of early homework on this because we, as renters, had experienced the wonderful and mysterious application fee. And what we learned is that when, and we asked about 3,000 people around the country about this, specifically about why do you charge an application fee, and if so, why? And the overwhelming majority of respondents to that survey told us that they use the application fee simply to go pay for a background check and credit report. Less than 5% used it to collect an additional fee from their tenant. And so we made the decision early on to just remove the concept of an application fee and only have tenants pay for the things where they're actually acquiring data about themselves to apply to a place. And so, you know, we've been in business for 2 years now, and I think we have had maybe 3 or 4 people over the course of our history email to ask, hey, how can I charge a tenant an extra, you know, $10 or $25? And so
there's actually kind of a little other benefit to the landlord. You know, if the tenant pays something, even though it's a nominal fee like 25 bucks, you know, it sort of makes them more committed to the property. If they're out looking at, you know, 2 dozen properties and applying everywhere, you know, they kind of feel like they're really sort of into it if they gave you 25 bucks. So, you know, look at, no landlord's making money off application fees, okay? They have to spend a lot of time screening the tenants and so forth. But, you know, certainly institutional apartments do this, and it's probably a big business for them, actually.
Yeah, but to your point, the way that we've designed it is that the tenants who really want a place are going to purchase their credit report and background check. And so the way that we have designed the software naturally causes the higher quality tenants to bubble up to the top if you are getting multiple applicants for a property. And so to your point of, you know, it weeds out the people who the application fee weeds out the people who are not interested. We still do that, but what is attached to that is high quality data rather than just intent.
So how do you make money? I mean, because we got to get into the thing about the monthly rent processing. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but how does Cozy make money?
Yeah, so we give away the core tools to landlords and property managers. So the application and screening tools and the ACH payment and collection tools. And today we have two revenue streams. One is around credit reports. One is around background checks. So today, that's currently how we make money. In less than a month, we will actually start allowing tenants to pay rent and other things like utilities with debit and credit cards. And so we'll start actually monetizing the very large amounts of money that we move every month. And then there are things coming, but those are the three that are immediate.
So anything more you want to say on screening just quickly? And then let's move on to monthly rent collection.
Yeah, let's move on.
Landlords collect rent in various ways. You know, good old-fashioned send me a check, and then the tenant says the check's in the mail, as the old saying goes. My mother self-manages all of her properties. I call her kind of an extreme do-it-yourselfer. She's sort of a little too much on the do-it-yourself side for sure. And I've had her on the show a few times to talk about it. And she just has the tenants deposit the money into her bank on the first of the month. And boy, she is like a hawk. At the end of the day, on the first of the month, she is looking at her bank and making sure all those deposits were made. So the tenants, it's their responsibility to just put it into her account. And so, you know, you can do it that way. There are a couple other payment processing things, but the problem is with other payment processing systems is, of course, you know what I'm going to say, they charge a fee. And that's okay when the transaction is $20, but, you know, when it's $1,500 a month or, you know, even worse in the Socialist Republic of San Francisco, you know, then it really adds up. It's a lot of money.
Yes. So we have aggressively negotiated our ACH payments, which is, you know, direct from one bank to another, to a point where we feel that it's a great value to just offer that service for free to both landlords and tenants. And, you know, today we move about $250 million a year, and that's growing. In 2015, that's been growing at about 140% every quarter. And so that's, you know, volume is one way that we make that free. And as I just mentioned, we're actually getting ready to roll out the ability for tenants to pay with debit cards and credit cards, and there will be a convenience fee associated with that. But the cool thing about cards is that if a landlord also wants to use a debit card, we can actually make those payments almost instant. So if a tenant pays with a debit card, we can then almost immediately push that money to the landlord's debit card as well. So that's something that's coming that we're super excited about. The other thing that is much better about Cozy than...
I have a question for you. And you know how in life we have these things that we just sort of take for granted and never question? And some of them are acronyms, abbreviations. Do you know what ACH even stands for? I mean, I know what it is, but I don't even know what it stands for. Is it like automatic cash transfer?
It's automated clearinghouse.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, okay. And actually we have on our website... There's a link, I think it's cozy.co/ACH explained, and don't quote me on that, but it's something like that, where we actually explain what happens to your money when it leaves your bank account and then goes into the Federal Reserve, and then goes through a couple of processes before it actually ends up in your landlord's account. But yes, the automated clearinghouse is the service that our federal government built decades ago, and it's the rails on which all United States payments still run, and unfortunately we're all still beholden to their rules.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday. Okay, so Cozy can process payments for free? Is that...
It costs us a tiny amount of money, but it's worth it for us to offer that service for free to our customers.
Wow. Okay, so you're, you know, it's kind of like saying we lose money on every deal, but we make it up on volume.
and you know, people...
I'm joking with you, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Well, not really.
Well, you know, there are it's certainly a loss leader for us, but it's a very sticky product, and it's a product that works very well for people. And you know, when you opened the show and you were talking about being 2,000 miles away, we actually just a few hours ago got a comment from a customer who's in Saudi Arabia, 9 time zones away from his 3 rental properties, and he was raving about how much better Cozy has made his life. And so it's, you know, it's worth it for us to provide that because it's such a sticky service and people do need to screen tenants. And, you know, soon we'll actually start monetizing the rent payments by allowing tenants to pay with cards. So it's worth it for us.
Okay, so how does it work? What happens? I mean, what does the landlord do and what does the tenant do to make this automatic payment happen?
Yeah, so there are really two ways that a landlord would initiate payment. So either I as a landlord just found a new tenant through Cozy and now I'm getting them set up on payments. A more common case for us actually is people already have tenants and they discover Cozy and they say, you know, oh my gosh, this is just so much better than rent checks or PayPal or direct deposit or, you know, however they're doing it. And so they just onboard their current tenants to start using Cozy to pay and collect rent. And so the way that it works is, let's say that you're my tenant. I simply set you up in Cozy, which, you know, takes 30 seconds. You know, I enter your email address and a little bit more information about the property, and I essentially just send you an invite. You get an invite that says, you know, hey, Gino is invited you to pay rent through Cozy, and you go through a process. We verify that you are, in fact, who you say you are. We verify that you, in fact, own the bank account from which the money will be withdrawn. And it's that simple. And then once it's set up, it just runs automatically every month. And we do a very good job of notifying both the landlord and the tenant. You know, hey, rent's due in 5 days, just a heads up. And then the day that the rent is pulled, we let you know. And then we also let your landlord know, hey, the rent's on its way. So your mom actually wouldn't need to go eagle eye her bank account because she would get a notification on her phone or email or wherever proactively that just says, hey, your tenant at this property has paid their rent. You can expect it in the next 3 to 5 days.
I just keep thinking, what is your ultimate goal? I mean, look, there's no shortage of tech companies in the world who've never had a penny of revenue or either no revenue or certainly no profit, yet they've sold for $1 gazillion to another company. I mean, is that your plan with Cozy? Are you just looking to get traffic and eyeballs, or do you really have a revenue model here? I mean, it sounds like you charge for some things, but I don't know. I can't imagine it's, you know, how much do you charge for whatever you charge for?
So to answer your first question, what our goal is to build the best one-stop service for anyone to run their rental business. And that means if you have two properties or if you have 2,000 properties, we want you to be able to do it soup to nuts with Cozy. So that's our goal. Now the exit, which I think is what you were implying, is really not relevant or of interest at this point. We're growing fast. We're making money. We have a lot of new revenue streams lined up. The next one's getting ready to launch in November.
So top secret stuff there, probably, right?
Well, no, the card payments that I mentioned.
Okay.
So that's coming, and you know, given the volume of cash that we move every month,
it'll be significant.
It'll be significant.
Right. Okay. Good.
You know, things that we're looking at in the future, without giving too much away. Everyone needs renter's insurance. Every small rental owner needs liability insurance, and the adoption rates of those things today are abysmal. And we have a really huge opportunity to make a positive impact in those kinds of things as well. So there's absolutely a business here, and it's growing very well. And you know what the long-term goal is to build the best product that we possibly can and have a massive swath of people, not only in the U.S., but around the world, using our product, to the point where if you took it away, they would say, how the hell did I get this done before?
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. This is just a great tool. I mean, do you have a competitor, or is it just, this is pretty much a kind of a new, I mean, of course you have services like PayPal, Venmo, there are others, but it's not designed for landlords. And of course, you've got those pesky fees. Of course, you can get around that with PayPal if you say it's for a friend or a relative. I don't know. You know, not really a solution, right?
Yeah. So when we started out, we were very much the lone few people in a canoe in the middle of the ocean. There were no competitors. Historically, no one had ever designed a product for the sub 20 unit, you know, independent rental owner market. And, you know, the interesting thing is that that sub 20 unit building is actually about 75% of the U.S. market. It's the huge majority of rental properties in the U.S. And the reason that no one had ever done that in the past is that it's such a fragmented market. You can't hire a sales force and call everyone. Right. And luckily now that we have things like your show that we're doing right now, we can get in front of people. But there have also been a number of things on the internet that has allowed Cozy to get in front of the right people at the right time, where historically that just wasn't possible. Now, since we have launched, there are a lot of copycats. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 5 years to see where the industry lands, because what's happening with Cozy is that while we very specifically designed the V1 of the product for the smaller independent rental owner, professional property managers have heard about Cozy as the brand has grown, and now what's happening with us is we're being pulled up market, and we have more and more customers that have 200 units or 1500 units, and so we're very quickly designing the product to also handle the kind of scale that they need to deal with and the headaches that they have, while maintaining and continuing to grow the audience that we started with, which is our bread and butter. So, it's still fragmented. A lot of companies are coming at it from a lot of different angles. But look, it's a huge market, and Cozy is we're excited about where things are headed right now. So
yeah, I'm excited too. I'm excited to see that there's a service like this out there, and look forward to seeing where it goes. It's sorely needed. Anything else you want to say? Of course, the website is cozy.com.
It's actually cozy.co.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, you use the Colombian domain extension, CO, huh?
It's more and more common. And,
yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah.
It's interesting. We started there, and a lot of people just call us CozyCo now, which is kind of cute, and it's okay with me.
Sure, yeah. good stuff. Anything else you want people to know? Maybe, a question I didn't ask you, or just anything.
Well, the rest of 2015 is going to be super exciting for us. We just launched a new mobile web app for landlords, so you can do almost everything on Cozy on your phone or tablet now. Over the next 8 weeks, we'll be rolling out a number of new features for both landlords and tenants around payments and listings management. And we're also in 2 weeks announcing a big partnership. And I wish I could tell you what it is, but I would encourage people to just follow us on Twitter at CozyCo, and we'll be making that announcement there. So
fantastic. Well, Gino, thank you so much. One thing I just did want to mention to investors, you mentioned fragmentation, and you may want to speak to this, by the way. And I always say to investors, embrace the fragmentation, because the fact that you have that fragmentation, that's what keeps the big institutional players out of our business in the small rental business. So, you see some hedge funds and some private equity groups, kind of dabbling. And, when I say dabbling, I mean 10,000 units, but
right, dabbling in on the order of billions.
But by their perspective, compared to Wall Street money, that is dabbling. Okay. It's not Goldman Sachs type money, but that keeps them out of our game. So, you got some tools like Cozy and some other great tools that we've talked about on prior episodes out there. And, it's just, it's the most historically proven asset class in the entire world, if you ask me. So this is great. And thank you for doing what you do. I just think, there's some great tools like yours out there. So investors, please check them out. Take advantage of them.
Thanks so much, Jason.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.